Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. My name is Simon. I'm the associate vicar here. And we're going to be looking at that passage in Acts as we continue in our sermon series. So please keep your Bibles open in that Acts passage, Acts 6, verses 1 to 7. And let's pray as we start. Heavenly Father, help us to discover in your written word, the living word, the Lord Jesus. And would you fill each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit? Fill us with power to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Fill us with power to grow in our love of you and of each other, that we might bear witness and be your light in this world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been looking at Acts, and we come today to Acts chapter 6. With the title, So the Word of God Spread. And in this passage, as we've just heard read, we see a basic pattern happening, that there is a problem in the passage, there's then a solution, and then a result. And that's where we're going to go this morning. We're going to look at the problem, we're going to see how the apostles solve it, and then the result of their solution. So the story of Acts so far really is a story of how the devil, the evil one, has been trying to derail the church, to destroy it. He's done it already by trying to suppress it through the Jewish leaders, suppressing the church and persecuting the church. He tried and he failed. He then tried to corrupt the church, which we know by the story of Ananias and Sapphira, corrupting the church with hypocrisy. And in our passage today, we see his third tactic, which is to distract the church leaders from their calling, from prayer and from preaching. And when the devil is able to do that, the church then, with distracted leaders, is open to error and evil. So it's a very subtle and effective strategy that the devil is employing to try and derail the church from its mission and ministry. And particularly when it comes to the leaders, the ministry of the word. And we get to see just how much of a powerful strategy and subtle strategy this is of the evil one, by distracting its leaders from the ministry of the word, when we begin to unpack what the ministry of the word actually means and entails. And it's clearly important to the apostles, isn't it? Look at verse 2. It says, it's not right for us to neglect the word of God. So let's think a minute about what the ministry of the word actually is. I'm sure if you were to ask the person sitting next to you in the seat, you'd probably say, well, it's probably about preaching. It's explaining what the Bible says and how we apply it to our lives. And that's absolutely right and true. And that can happen in a congregational level like this, in our small groups, maybe in one-to-ones, and even in our private devotional times. To explain the word and to apply it to our lives. But I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. In that enterprise of explaining and applying the word, we actually discover and dialogue dynamically with the living word, the Lord Jesus, who is alive and reigns, Lord of all. And when we begin to let that sink in, we discover that risen Lord Jesus in the pages of Scripture. I've said before, this book should come with a health warning. You know, it reads us as much as we read it. We discover the power of the risen Lord Jesus in the written word. And when that happens and we're open-hearted and humble enough to sit under the authority of Scripture, then God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, changes lives, changes our lives. You know, I hope that when we're up here preaching, you're praying for each other and for our preachers, that we're able to get into that place in our hearts where we're able to receive what the Lord Jesus wants to do in our hearts during the sermon and as we go out from this place into the week. That's the dynamic, powerful thing that happens when we sit under the authority of Scripture with open eyes, open ears, and open hearts, willing and wanting to discover the living word in the written word. It's powerful, isn't it? Jesus warned, didn't he, that we're not just to be Bible bashers. We're not there just to beat people over the head with written instructions. No, it's so important that we discover the living word in Scripture, as he says to the Pharisees in John 5. You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the very Scriptures that testify about me, Jesus. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So it's perfectly possible to read the Bible in a very dry, academic, perhaps unengaging way and not discover the Lord Jesus in the pages of Scripture. Yet conversely, it's also possible to just try and live our lives with Jesus as Lord without ever turning to the Bible. And that, of course, leads us into a very grave danger of turning Jesus into something he isn't. No, it's the living word and the written word together that keep us on track, keep us growing in our likeness of Jesus. And when we do that, God speaks into our hearts and lives to bring transformation, to deal with that stuff that we'd rather other people wouldn't want to know about us, as we confess and as we repent and as we come back to God each time we do that. He fills us with his Holy Spirit to empower us to live lives to bring him glory. That's the dynamic that goes on when we preach and as we study Scripture together. We discover the living Lord Jesus in the written word. And we get glimpses of this in Acts, don't we? Don't look this up, it's up there on the screens. But Peter's preaching here to people that don't yet know Jesus. And so with many other words, that's Peter, warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And here we are, look, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. There they are, sitting under the apostles' teaching, under the word, if you like. And God is saving souls as the apostles preach. And that's a common theme that goes all the way throughout Acts. So when we consider that dynamic with the ministry of the word, it's nothing short, is it, of God's transformational power to save lives. It's the gospel, actually. And we begin to appreciate just how subtle and effective the devil's strategy is when he distracts church leaders from that ministry. They say that 68% of statistics are made up on the spot. And I've been trying to dig this around, but Joel and I were leading Christianity Explored this week, and there was an amazing caption which I've tried to dig around a little bit. So weigh this up a little bit and don't take it as gospel. But apparently something like 1,500 pastors leave the church in the US every month. Now, it may not be as high as that, but if it's anywhere near that figure, then that's something to concern us, isn't it? We can see the devil's strategy working. And many reasons behind these pastors leaving are to do with burnout and conflict within churches. So we see then that there is a problem. Sometimes leaders can be distracted. They're unable to find the time to pray, to prepare properly for preaching. And I've been convicted of that myself this week. Finding that time to pray for you, that God would move amongst us, that you might have open hearts and minds, praying that I would be faithful to the teaching of Scripture as we pray for all of our preachers, not just at this church, but up and down the land. So that's the big problem, but underneath that then we see not only is there distraction, but there's the danger of dispute, which the devil loves to play around with. So in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So we see then there's this potential dispute coming up in the church between these two different ethnic groups within the church. And so our problem in the passage today is twofold. We've got distracted leaders, potentially, having to deal with this dispute. And then also we've got division within the church. Distracted leaders and dividing congregations. It's a serious problem, and it affects the spread of the gospel in communities, as it could have done in that early church and as it can do in churches today. It's a constant threat, a very subtle and effective strategy. So there's our problem. The good news is that there's solution to it. So we saw, didn't we, that the apostles say it's not right for us to neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. It's not right to neglect the word of God. In fact, that could be translated, it displeases God, rather than to neglect. But there is a therefore in the passage. They say, therefore, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. So they choose these 7 men who can oversee, and they're empowered, aren't they? They turn over this responsibility. They become overseers of this compassionate ministry to provide for these widows. Note, they don't say, no, that's not right for us not to look after the widows. No, it's good to be compassionate. And that's part of the role of the church. But these apostles empower others into other areas of church life, which include preaching. Did you notice that Stephen is in that list of the 7 who goes on to preach and then is martyred for his preaching? But also there's compassion ministry that these 7 are involved in. There's the administration about how these widows are going to be looked after. They're resolving the conflict. And they are able to speak with authority into the dispute that's going on here in the early church. But not only are these leaders empowered, they are valued. Look at verse 6. They are presented to the apostles, and then they're prayed for, and they're commissioned. I hope that David and Esther feel valued for what they were doing over so many years. It's so good to value what everyone contributes to the life of this church, and we're deeply grateful. But notice their commission, the laying on of hands. They're taking this seriously. This isn't, oh, we just got this thing, can you go and sort it out? No, you take responsibility, step up in leadership, and go and solve it. That's empowering leadership right there. So with preaching, compassion ministry, administration, conflict resolution, there's all these different types of ministry in the church. And they're not in competition with one another. It's not that the church leaders get to have all the fun. This is a community which everyone gets to play a part in. Whether that's preaching, whether that's pastoral care, whether it's acts of service, administration, social action, compassion ministry. Inside and outside of the church, every member of God's family has a role to play. So in our discernment of which ministry God is calling us to, we need to be praying for each other that we do find our place within the body life of the church and in God's mission further afield. But it's not for its own sake, right? This is under one vision, to proclaim the gospel. Some ministries are more overt in this process, and others are more discreet. But like the 7, some of them went on to preach as well. We're growing in our likeness of Christ as we study under his word, and as we exercise the ministries and the callings that he's given us, we're doing so to encourage one another in our faith in Jesus, so that we're strengthened and built up to go and take that good news to others. That's the vision of any and every church, or at least it should be. Everybody's ministry has that vision to share Jesus and to know Jesus and to make him known. That's our strapline, is it? Knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. I said some of us are more overt about that. Some of us have a more discreet part to play in that process. Any of you who know me well will know that administration is not one of my strengths. And I'm so thankful, and I put a big shout out for all of our admin staff who are great at what they do. And they release so much ministry. They enable us to get on with what we feel called to do. I'm so grateful for that. And I admire them richly. I wish I had their gifts. And I bet Naomi wish I had their gifts. But I don't. And that's okay, because I'm not called to be an administrator. But because of their diligence, their hard work, and their gifting, so much more ministry is released so that others can come to know the Lord Jesus. The apostles devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Pastors, vicars, leaders can only devote themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word when they're supported by a proactive church body. So there's that old adage, isn't there, that 20% of people do 80% of the work. And I want to say a big thank you to everyone who contributes so sacrificially to the life of this church. And many of you know who you are. This isn't me going to be beating you up over that. I want to say a big thank you for the hard work and ministry that you give to the life of this church, your time, your treasure, and your talents. A big thank you. But life changes, doesn't it? And our seasons in life change. Sometimes we're overworked, overstressed. Other times maybe we have a little bit more time, although I'm sure for most of us we feel like we're at capacity a lot of the time. But as I've been preparing and praying into today, I'd like you to take this summer just to think a little bit about your role in the church, to pray about it. Perhaps life has changed a little bit, and you've got that little bit of extra time, that little bit of extra capacity, and you think, actually, do you know what? I do have some skills. I do have a little bit of time I can give to the life of the church. So if you're not one of those people that are currently actively serving in the church, perhaps in this moment you might want to be open-hearted to the living Lord Jesus. Perhaps listening to that little conviction in your heart saying, do you know what? I can offer this, and I'd like to offer this to the life of the church. Your time, your talent, and your treasures. Not for your own benefit, but to help the spread of the gospel in Christchurch and beyond. Now, there's some very immediate ways you can do that. Helping at the front desk, in hospitality, in helping with our youth work, with our information technology, in the music team, in pastoral care. I'm going to be honest, some of our teams in this church are fairly tired, and we need some energy and we need some time. Please, will you pray over the summer? And just listen to God's voice in that. And if he prompts you, then please come and have a word with Simon or myself. You are too important, too valuable, and too loved not to be involved in God's mission and ministry. Okay, that's the lecture over with. But do pray. And you know what? Sometimes church life, excuse the football analogy, is a bit like being in the football game. For some of us, when we're busy and we're at capacity, we need to be up in the stands just cheering people on and saying, look, go for it. I've got too much on at the moment. For others of us, it's like we're in the second half of extra time playing for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and we're exhausted. And actually, we just need to do the high five and get a substitute to come on and take our place. For others of us, we're yet to discover our position on the pitch, and we're eager to get off the bench and get playing and to play with our gifts and strength to say, yeah, I can be a game changer. I wonder, whereabouts would you see yourself in the football stadium of the church, if you like, if that analogy works? Maybe again, maybe that's a helpful image just to process over the summer and to think about, where's God calling me to be at the moment? And look what happens when the church functions properly. The word of God spreads. Look at verse 7. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples increased rapidly. In fact, the Greek here is in the imperfect for these verbs. The spread of the word and the growth of the church are continuous and correlated. When we preach the word faithfully, the church grows. Full stop. So if the word cannot spread when the word is neglected, the opposite is also true. When we devote ourselves to prayer and the word, the church grows. Would you like the church to grow? Yes, I hope so. I do. It's so exciting. And there's so many opportunities for the word to be faithfully preached in our community. It's this such an exciting time to be part of Christ Church Virginia Water. You know, we've got Monday Mayhem happening down in Trump's Green, which Jeremy and his team are leading down there. An opportunity to engage with our community where they're at, not inviting them into our church building, but us going out there to preach the good news of Jesus, and the church will grow. Long Cross, the housing community, pray into that. Our long-term strategy is to get in there, have a worshiping community up there, to plant out. Is God calling you to be part of that team, either at Trump's Green or Long Cross or both? Do you have experience in that? Come and talk to us. We've got Alpha going out into the nursing homes now. We've got students being trained in Bible study and learning how to develop and continue in dealing with contemporary issues. The Good News Cafe for the more senior in our community is growing all of the time. Hope and Depression is turning into a charity so that it can go national and international. Isn't this exciting? Isn't this wonderful? And I'm so confident that under Simon's leadership, you know, I've worked with him for a year now, and he's actually a good bloke. Yeah, that's right, that's right. No, he is, and I'm really enjoying working with him. It's so exciting to be part of this church at this time. It's a joy. Exciting to be positive about what God is doing in this place. Jeremy and I have just been away on a clergy conference for the diocese. And I think the talk is up there on the Guildford Diocese website, look it up, by a guy called Philip North, the Bishop of Burnley, and he gives a very passionate talk about the growth of the church. And if I can have passionately put this, the growth of the church is inevitable, and it's blasphemous to think of anything different. Many of the figures and statistics suggest that the church is in decline in this country, and that's true. But actually, the growth of the church in this country is inevitable. Do you know why? Because God says in his word, through the power of the living Lord Jesus, that when we relentlessly, prayerfully, expectantly, and devotionally focus on the living word, guided by him through his written word, the church will grow. Do you know, each one of you sitting here today has the capacity to grow the church immediately, without the need for permission. You have the capacity to grow the church immediately, without the need for permission. You can contribute to the life of this church, building it up. You don't need our permission to do that. Pray with one another, encourage one another. Of course, just get on and do it. You can go out into the community and share the love of Jesus in practical ways. You don't need permission to do that. You can join small groups. You don't need permission to do that. You can be nice to one another. You don't need to be permission to do that. No, you can grow the church immediately with God by your side and us cheering you on. So my prayer is that over this summer, will you take some time to seriously think about what your role and your calling is to the body life of this church so that the gospel can spread. So the word of God can spread, just as it did in the early days, and that together we might see hope brought to our community. Amen.